And I am so glad God saved those sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed how He sets him free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that He would save an old sinner like me. Was I so wrong that I needed forgiveness? Was I so bad I had to be redeemed? Well, I wasn't a thief, yet I lived in sin's prison. I was as lost as sinner could be, but I am so glad God saved old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed how He sets him free, but the biggest surprise in redeeming old is that He would save an old sinner like me. Is that He would save an old sinner like me.
Amen. Bless His name. This is a song we're going to let Jesse sing this. It's John Carr wrote this. It's a Christmas song in some way, but Christmas ought to be every day in our heart. And I'm glad He's willing to come for a soul sinner like me. You listen as Jesse sings this, entitled "The Gift."
There was a gift given a long time ago, a gift to mankind, a gift to save their soul. A gift that some rejected, but a gift that some received. It's a gift that is still offered, a gift for you and me. Jesus, born of a virgin and lived a sinless life, at 33 was crucified, but in 3 days would arise. It is a gift that's wrapped in red, the color of the blood He shed, and all you have to do is believe, trust Him, and receive. There's nothing wrong with the presence, nothing wrong with the gift. The Bible says, blessed is a man who's willing to give. Don't forget that special gift from the manger to the cross. And after 3 days, an empty tomb just to save me and you. Jesus, born of a virgin and lived a sinless life, at 33 was crucified, but in 3 days would arise. He is a gift that's wrapped in red, the color of the blood He shed, and all you have to do is believe, trust Him, and receive. It is a gift that's wrapped in red, the color of the blood He shed, and all you have to do is believe, trust Him, and receive.
I like that it's called grace. Thank you, preacher.
Amen. I like that, amen. I do. I like that God saves old sinners too, amen. Yeah. Thankful He does, even though I was not old. Now, brother's talking about being saved for 30-something years, but I've been saved for 50-something years. I got saved when I was 10-year-old, and I am now, I'm so old I can't remember. No, I'm 67. And so I've been saved quite a few years. 57 years is quite a while. But I can tell you something. He's still the same Jesus that saved me. I still have the same conversations with him that I had when I was just a little boy. And all the way through my life, he has been there. And one of the things, you know, a lot of times worried about how the end's going to be, what's going to happen. I was concerned about that. I was praying at one point, and he said, "Well, it's just going to be your friend that comes and gets you. I've been with you all these years. And one of these days, my friend, you won't be afraid because your friend's going to come and get you. Be a friendly face. Be a friendly voice. And he'll come and get me." So I thank the Lord for that. It's come time for preaching, and Brother Tom is here to preach. And I'm liking what I'm hearing about this grace thing. Amen. All about grace. And I like that. Amen. So you pray for Brother Tom as he comes, and that the Lord will help him. Bless you, sir.
Thank you, preacher. If you have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text again in the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth. We thank the Lord for you that have assembled yourself again here tonight. We do not take your presence for granted. Of course, I was amazed that somebody wanted to hear me preach the first time, let alone twice. And if you were to come every five services, I'd just be thrilled and super amazed. But I thank the Lord for your kindness. I don't know if any of you are interested. It's just a small group of people. They're somewhat crazy. They're somewhat weird. But they study their Bible outside of church. They don't just have to come over here to do it. They do it at home. It's the craziest thing in the world. Well, I'm looking for those kind of people. And I have two or three places where you can go if you're interested in that kind of stuff. One of them is Sermon Audio. It's Tom Gillum, Bible Truth. It's all little letters run together. Also have a YouTube channel. It's at 714 Preacher. And then I have a website, tomgillum.com. Probably around 300 live stream videos between those three sites. If you're interested in being crazy and studying the Bible at the house, maybe getting ready to go home, you know, I would put those before you. We began this morning, want to continue tonight, just sort of hanging out in the book of Ruth and looking at the thought of the grace that found me. I didn't find grace. Oh, no. Grace found me. And if grace doesn't find you, you'll never find it. It must find you. I remind you of a little hub verse that sort of holds this book together, at least for me. In chapter 2, once Ruth lands in Bethlehem, Judah, and meets up with her kinsman redeemer, she makes this statement in chapter 2 and verse 10. "Then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground." That's an interesting position to get in, wouldn't you say? Face in the dirt. And she asks the question that should be upon the lips of every person that God's ever redeemed. She asks this question: "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" Ruth didn't find grace. No, the grace was in his eyes. And he found Ruth. I love that little word, found there. It means to light upon one suddenly and unaware. The day I got saved, that's exactly what grace did. Came upon me suddenly, unaware. I mentioned this morning, I mention it again tonight. I want to overemphasize it, that this grace that found me, it is marvelous. It is wonderful. It is infinite. It is amazing. This morning we looked in chapter 1 at the reason for finding grace. Tonight I want to hang out in chapter 1 again tonight and look at this thought, the revealing of finding grace. Just exactly how would I know if grace has found me or not? Because you know churches are full of people that think they're on their way to heaven and they're on their way to hell just as good as where they're set. How can I know for sure? Well, preacher, I prayed a prayer. Hell will be full of people that went down the Romans Road, the German Road, and the French Road. Right. How can I know that grace found me? As we unpack this text tonight, I see, first of all, the revelation of revealing grace. Just exactly how does grace find the sinner? I don't know if you'll agree with me or not. You can be wrong if you like. I do not believe salvation is decision-based. We have had decision-based preached to us for over 100 years, and we're none the better. Matter of fact, we're worse off than where we were when we began. Salvation is a revelation. God must reveal himself to you. Notice that revelation, if you would, to Naomi. You remember she's got 3 graves up on the hillside now. She's got 2 daughter-in-laws that are widows. She's a widow herself, and there ain't nobody taking care of none of them. There's no welfare program for Jews living down in Moab. The Bible says in verse 6, then she arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had, it's an interesting word, she heard that they got bread back down in Bethlehem, Judea again. I'm interested in that little word, heard. One of the first ways that you'll know that grace has found you, you will come to the conclusion that God talks to you. I was wondering tonight, not being nosy, God forbid I'd stick my nose in your business. Do you remember any particular time when you first realized that God talked to you? You could hear him speak. You mean, preacher, you could hear him with these ears? God forbid. Oh, no. I'm talking about with your heart ears. Of course, I've heard him so loud down here before I thought I was hearing him up here. I thought it was interesting. Jesus, on 8 different occasions, you remember what we said about that number 8? You'd almost think God wrote the Bible, put the whole thing together. The number 8, the number of new beginnings. 8 times in the New Testament, he closed a message. He finished up a message. Matthew 11:15,
13:9, 13:43, Mark 4:9, 4:23, 7:16, Luke 8:8, and 14:17 with these words. He that hath ears, let him hear. Had there been some kind of nuclear explosion in that area and the water was all messed up and everybody was born with slick sides on their head, they didn't have no ears. I don't think so. But I do believe he was speaking about heart ears. I remember clearly some of the first times that I realized that God talked to me. It is the mark of one. I tell you, preacher, I don't ever remember God ever talking to me. Would you make yourself a note? I'm going to hell when this is over with. Because grace has never found you. She heard. God has arranged her tiredness, her hunger, her hopelessness, her helplessness before this messenger comes, this unknown messenger, probably a beautiful picture of the Holy Ghost. He's in the shadows, he's not in the limelight, and he says to Naomi, hey, they got bread back down in Bethlehem, Judea. And she hears it with her heart ears. And she waits 3 weeks and prays about it. No! She immediately arises and heads that way. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Luke chapter 1, Zacharias said, God hath visited the redeemed, and he has brought to them grace. There can be no salvation unless grace found you. He says in Luke chapter 1, the day spring, the Son of God has arisen and brought light to those that sit in darkness. Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah are sitting in darkness when the light comes from this messenger. I heard tell, you correct me if I'm wrong, I heard tell somewhere in the Bible that faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Here, Naomi has been given ears to hear. I wonder tonight, do you remember the time when God first made it clear to you that he talks to you? Such a mark. Well, I tell you, preacher, I've been down the Romans. Hell be full of folks who've been down the Romans road. I'm asking you tonight, God ever talked to you? Say anything. It is the mark that grace has found you. Said there in that little message in verse number 6 that he has visited his people in giving them bread. I can't help but maybe Naomi went back to that reminder of the manna, the bread that came down from heaven. But oh, there'll be a greater message from that, because there'll be one come along in the New Testament. His name was Jesus. And he says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. The Bible says in verse number 1 and 6 that they returned to Bethlehem, Judea, house, bread and praise. How in this world did that all happen? It's because grace has found Naomi. Did I mention to you about this grace? It's wonderful. It's marvelous. It's infinite. That's why they call it amazing. But I see not only the revelation of revealing grace, but I see the repentance of revealing grace. I had someone some time ago attack me online, said that I was one of those repentance preachers. Said they believed that the only thing you needed to do is to get saved is believe. Well, if that's so, the devil's going to heaven, because he said he believed. But here, this message that she heard, caused her to repent, to take a 180-degree turn away from her sin. She's had her face towards hell and her back towards heaven, and now she's turned and she's facing towards heaven. There must be repentance. I tell you, if you sin tonight privately, you can confess it privately. If you've done it publicly, you must confess it publicly. She says here in the text in verse 13, she's talking to these girls about going with her. She says, would you tarry for them? She says, if I had some more boys till they were grown, would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, listen, here's the repentance. For it grieveth me much for your sakes. The hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Grieveth me. Embittered mirth that causes one sadness of tears. Naomi is certainly broken over what her sin has done to herself, but she is extremely broken over what her sin has done to these two girls. Oh, how often our lives will either tug people to heaven or tug people to hell. She's grieved. She's broken over her sin. Tell you, if grace finds you tonight, one of the marks is not only that God would talk to you tonight, but sin will be confessed and restitution, if possible, shall be made tonight. There'll be a radical change in you. Matter of fact, she said there in verse 13, the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Oh, one who has not been found by grace tonight, God's hand is against you. Elijah said in 2 Kings that the hand of the Lord has come upon me. Stephen said in the book of Acts, he says that the hand of the Lord is with me. I was wondering tonight, deep theological question. Would you rather have his hand on you, with you, or against you? I have tried all three, and I like the first two better. Amen. Just saying. Oh, one who grace has found, you will sense that the hand of the Lord is with him. Here she feels like these three grave sites, two girls, nobody to take care of them, nobody to be a kinsman redeemer for them. She is broken, and she tells her daughter-in-law, she confesses to them, it is because the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Oh, I remember the first time that God spoke to me and reminded me, son, you're going down a wrong road. My hand is against you. And things ain't going to turn out right if you don't turn around. I love that, don't you? Oh, there's the revelation of finding grace. There's the repentance of revealing grace. But I see in our text, there is the reality of finding grace. It's in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 1 that Naomi gives Ruth and Orpah a choice as to if they would like to go with her to Bethlehem, Judea. Why in this world would she give a choice to them? People talk all the time about salvation as a choice, and there is, in some ways, there is a choice. But the choice is not about you getting saved. Oh, no.
That's
The choice is about whether grace has found you or not. Notice the choice given to Ophir in verse number 15 and 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Ophir kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her, and she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people." Ophir is given the test. Would you like to go to Bethlehem, Judea? I've heard that they got bread down there. She kisses the door of grace and turns and goes back to her people. How come? Because she got an F on finding grace. Grace has never found her. Oh, see, the choice you made tonight, the reason why you made that choice and that choice radically changed your life is because grace has found you. Had nothing to do with what you did. Had all to do with what He did. I love that, don't you? Well, how come it's like that? Because it's marvelous. It's wonderful. It's infinite. That's why they call it amazing. Ruth is given the same test. I wonder how Ruth did. I notice in the text, when given this test, Ruth boards four ships that are sailing towards Bethlehem, Judea. What kind of ships you talking about, preacher? I notice one of the ships is the Confession of Lordship. She gets on the Lordship. I love that, don't you? She says in verse number 16, and Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God." She is confessing, she's cutting ties with her God, and Naomi's God is becoming her Lord tonight. I don't believe a person can get saved if they never confess Him as Lord. They must become a slave to Him. Lordship leaves the living and the care and the needs to God alone. Ruth is saying, "I'm not going to try to take care of myself no more. I'm going to trust your Lord to take care of me." I was wondering, not being nosy, you ever gotten on board a Lordship? If you ain't, it's because grace ain't never found you. I tell you, bless God, preacher, we're from one of this up here in the mountains. We're old mountain people. We can take care of ourselves. How's that working out for you?
Amen.
You better get on the Lordship tonight. Let Him take care of you. I noticed another ship she got on. She confessed fellowship. Oh, she says here in verse number 16, she says, "Thy people shall be my people." It isn't it amazing tonight, this thing of fellowship, that you can get closer with people at this house than you do your own flesh and blood? Isn't that amazing tonight? You can be closer with these people, have greater fellowship with these people than you do with your own flesh and blood. How come that is tonight? It's because this grace is marvelous. Wonderful. It's infinite. That's why they call it amazing. I see also not only she get on the Lordship, she got on the fellowship, but she got on the relationship. Says in verse 17, "Where thou diest will I die, there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death apart thee and me." She's leaving her life to this relationship, this intimacy that she's got now with Naomi's God. How in this world did she get that kind of relationship? Because grace found her. Amen. Huh? Grace found her. Don't have the time to do it, but on Wednesday night I will. She got on the last ship. She got on the worst ship. She had a baby by the name of Obed, and his name means a worship. Oh, it ain't nothing like getting on the worship and realizing the great worth of who God is that found the likes of you. And forever having the question, even a million years in eternity, you'll still be asking the question, why? Why in this world? I've done plenty in my life to turn God's stomach against me, but I've never done anything to turn His head in my direction. Yet, I found grace in His eyes. I see last of all tonight the results of revealing grace. Naomi and Ruth are headed back. And on the way back, the Bible says that Naomi begins to look at herself. She takes knowledge of herself. She says in verse number 20, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty have dealt very bitterly with me. See, the law that Naomi is living under, all it can see is myself. And she says, God has dealt very bitterly with me. But grace tells us in verse 22, the latter part of verse 22, says they return. Ruth and Naomi, her daughter-in-law, they returned out of the country of Moab and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of what? Hey,
she said, y'all bring me. God damn, I'm just so bitter.
But Grace says, hey, Naomi, come on home. It's barley harvest time.
Amen.
I love the hound out of that, don't you? Oh, don't see yourself like you are. See yourself like God sees you. It's barley harvest time. Grace has found you. She makes a statement to Ruth and the people. She says in verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. She says, I'm so empty. That's what the law said. I just cursed. I ain't got nothing. What does Grace say? Grace says, barley harvest time. Come on home. I love that, don't you? We got plenty down here. Come on home. She tells all that crowd there in verse number 21. She says, Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, the Almighty hath afflicted me. Oh, she said, God is against me. That's what the law is saying. But the grace that found us tonight, it's saying, hey, it's barley harvest time. Come on home. What is this thing of barley harvest all about? Oh, seed has been planted. It has come up out of the ground. Isn't it Jesus that told us in John, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it'll bear much fruit. One of the things I found out when grace found me, I died and He began to live. Grace has found me in the beginning of barley harvest. These old gals don't even know what they're in for. They're going back because it's barley harvest time. They're going back with the thoughts that they're going to get on the Jewish welfare program. The Jewish welfare program, all the fields were squared out. And anything on the edge of the fields, the widows and the orphans could get in there and grab and get what they could get. I'm not on no welfare program. I ain't on no food stamp program.
No, 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 no. I'm not going to be on the edges of this field. I'm going right down the rows, and the people in front of me is dropping me hands full of grace on purpose, and all I got to do is reach and pick them up. You say, preacher, what kind of grace is that? I tell you, it's marvelous grace. It's infinite grace. It's wonderful grace. Matter of fact, the songwriter said, marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was shed. Sin and despair like a sea blood roll, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace, grace greater than, greater untold than all of my sin. It presses a refuge and mighty cross. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe.
Amen.
It is a grace that is greater than all of our sin.
Amen.
I didn't want to forget to tell you tonight, this grace that found me back in 1968, 54 years ago, sitting on the back of a Baptist pew, minding my own business. The only reason I went to church was to make my mama happy. She smiled at me, I smiled at her. And I closed my eyes to take a nap. When the preacher, he just retired, he's almost 90 years old, I call him every year in July and say, hey, preacher! I still got it. I still got it. It was marvelous grace. It's infinite grace. It's wonderful grace. That's why they call it amazing. I wonder tonight, has there ever been a revelation of that grace to you? You've got grounds to believe something bigger than some prayer you prayed, some decision you made. Oh, you know that God talks to you. You've gotten on the Lordship. You've gotten on the fellowship. You've gotten on the relationship. And you just love to worship. And it's not so much about looking at yourself as you see yourself, but looking at yourself the way God sees you. Hey, it's barley harvest time. Won't be long before he's going to say, come on home.